Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Netflix Life, a streaming TV podcast from Fansided. I'm Bryce Olin. This is Cody Schultz. We're here to talk about what's new on Netflix in August 2023. Summer's winding down, but we did get some big info, I feel like, what we should talk about. We were expecting this show to drop in July because that's when it had dropped previously. We were disappointed to learn that it wasn't coming back in July, but we do know the release date now, finally, and we're talking about Virgin River Season 5. Cody, when can we watch the new episodes?
So this is technically a two-part answer because for the first time, Virgin River is technically being split into two parts. This is where things get complicated, and I'm really interested to dive into this because the split of the seasons and how they're framing it is unlike anything we've seen for Netflix. But part one is coming September 7th, which this date had been announced, but then Netflix kind of walked it back. And so there was a little bit of confusion of like, is it going to be shifted?
No, it was never going to be shifted. They accidentally leaked the release date and then said, oh, no, wait, that's not the release date, because they wanted to do like a little special rollout, I think. And then, yeah, yep, it didn't happen. Did they even get a special rollout? We just got some pictures.
They dropped basically the teaser, dropped some, well, not the teaser, just like the synopsis about the season. And then dropped the information, like some photos and all that good stuff. And no teaser, no trailer just yet. I'm sure that'll be coming in the weeks ahead, sometime probably in August, since the show's first part will be coming September 7th, which that is a Thursday release. So that's another first for the show. It's been a Friday show, and it's joining the long list of shows that is dropping on a Thursday with part one. And then there is a part two, which will be coming on November 30th, which is also a Thursday. And so surprisingly, I'm honestly surprised they didn't do part two on the 23rd, a week before, just to have these out before Thanksgiving. Because I feel like that would have been a good choice, because part two is interestingly being billed as holiday episodes. So part one will consist of 10 episodes. Part two will only consist of 2 episodes, and they're being billed as holiday episodes. I think this is creating some confusion of what that's going to look like, and I'm intrigued. To me, the split reads like part one is going to be the season. That is season 5.
Yeah.
We'll get the 10 episodes, the main story. And then I feel like part two, the 2 holiday episodes, might be self-contained of sorts. I feel like that's where my gut just keeps saying. We've seen other shows do that have had like holiday specials. especially ones that are somewhat similar in the vein of Virgin River. Wind Calls the Heart, which is a Hallmark show that's not, I mean, it's completely different in a sense, but same vibes, basically. They always would do a holiday movie or holiday, like extended episode special, whatever you wanted to bill it as. And it was always counted as the last episode of the season, but it was always typically self-contained, built around a holiday storyline. You had like sprinkles of stuff that had happened from the season, but you didn't get like direct resolution to any like the big cliffhangers. And so I'm wondering if that's what Netflix could do with these two episodes, because if they're holiday episodes, a time jump has to be coming, because we're, I think, in the middle of summer still, and the show moves at the slowest pacing. Charmaine's been pregnant for four seasons, so.
We've covered 3 weeks of time in Virgin River over four seasons. They better do, like, the season on September 7th, and then the two-parter. That's what I think it's going to be. It's going to be probably, like, a special. Maybe there's some passage of time, like you said, that can, like, I don't know. I don't know where the show is, actually. Like, isn't it summer? It's kind of fall, I think, technically. Virgin River season 4 will, or season 5 will be, like, fall-ish, I think, based on, like, the Renaissance Fair episode and everything from season 4. I think that was season 4, right? Or was that season 3?
Yeah, that was season 4, I believe.
Yeah.
Season 4 had a lot. Jack had spiraled. We thought he was missing for a day when he was sleeping in his truck.
He's just... as one does, yeah. No, I'm excited, though. 12 episodes with it, you know, over the fall season. I thought that when they said they kind of walked back that release date, I was thinking, oh, okay, they're going to do 5 on September 7th or 6, and then do, like, a month later, October-type deal, or like a 5-5-2. That could have really been interesting, because I think that what Netflix will find if they ever do this, dragging these shows out over several months is actually good. It keeps the interest so much higher than like dropping an episode, letting everyone and their mom watch it in one day or a weekend, and then like even revisiting it like a few months later for a holiday special. I think it'll keep Virgin River like in the forefront of people's minds. And then we already know season 6 is happening. It's already been renewed. If they ever, I mean, now it's just up to the AMPTP. I don't want to say it wrong. I think that's what it is. To, you know, make a deal with the writers and actors, because this show is going to be delayed just like everything else if they don't do that. So, yeah. That was depressing. Let's go back and talk about the good part first.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting. I think we've talked about how we wish Netflix would do holiday specials and that. Mm-hmm. So I feel like this is the closest we're getting to that. And it is interesting because, of course, we've kind of come to pair and expect like Virgin River in the summer because season 3 and season 4 came out in the summer. But the show did start as like a end of the year kind of show. Season 1 came in December of 2019. Season 2 came in November of 2020, I believe it was. So it started its run off in like the fall months and then moved to summer, where it became an even bigger hit for Netflix. So I do think it's interesting and exciting to kind of see it somewhat returning back to the fall roots. It'll be interesting to see how it does traffic-wise and like page-view-wise, viewership-wise. But I think what could help it is we do have the strikes. And so the fall lineup for broadcast networks is pretty skim. And right now it's a lot of reality TV. Very few scripted shows are part of the fall schedule for the big 5 broadcasts, ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, and the CW. And so I think people are going to be looking for new scripted shows that they can enjoy. And I think that's where streaming is going to kind of sneak in and get those viewers, because yes, reality TV is great. I love reality TV, but there's only so much reality TV I feel like you can take at a time before you want something scripted. And so I think slotting Virgin River in at the start of September, typically when fall shows begin to return on broadcast, It is a smart move for Netflix. Yes, it feels like a shady move because Netflix is a big part of the strike and why there's the holdout right now, because they, you know, the streaming services in general aren't paying the residuals, where it's different for broadcast. So it kind of feels icky to say like, oh, Netflix is going to luck out, because
Yeah. They have said stuff in the past, though. Like, I think it was Ted S. I think that he was the one that said, like, we're pretty well positioned because we have a lot of stuff, like, in the pipeline and stuff like that, which is, like, I guess, you know, like, sure, you have a lot of projects in the works. It's interesting, too. So Netflix just shifted how they report viewership to the public. It used to be, like, the first 28 days. Now they've changed it to, I believe it's 91 now, how they're reporting. So, like, we saw a shakeup where Stranger Things season 4 was the biggest Netflix show ever. When they changed how they report, it switched, and so Wednesday actually took over that. Sorry, Squid Game's the biggest. It's not close to any of these American shows, Wednesday and Stranger Things. Interesting, though, with Virgin River season 5, because I think if I just did my math right in my head right now, so September 7th, they dropped 10. There's that, those next two episodes are in that like 90-day window. So I think that we'll see two giant bumps for Virgin River. Yes, they're doing some weird division of how many episodes are watched by the number of people who've actually watched it and hours and all that stuff. But I think that this one could be a sneaky top 10 potential all time for Netflix, just based on longer episode or the bigger season. And dropping it at two parts. If you miss it in September, it might go away for a little bit. But I think that around the holidays, when people are looking for something family friendly or just like maybe have some time off work or something like that, it's pretty well positioned to do really well for Netflix, which again, like you said, a little icky, but
Yeah,
it's just the truth.
I'm curious to see. We haven't talked about the episodes themselves. They're just billing as holiday episodes, so I'm wondering what that means. Like, are they going to do Thanksgiving and like Christmas time? Are they going to do Christmas time and New Year's? I feel like Christmas time has to be in there. Just knowing this show, that'll probably be one of the two holidays. But then there's also like, could it just be all set around all three? Could they go from Thanksgiving to end of the year and kind of kick off that? It'll be really interesting to see what they do. Knowing this town, I can only imagine what kind of celebrations they do for like big holidays, if they're throwing like huge festivals where everybody has these elaborate costumes for like Renaissance fairs. So there was another one too
Do
that
we
they did
have
one season,
Doc? Oh, sorry.
Doc and Santa.
Man, I hope so. Jack as like an elf. Do we got like a turkey drive, some toys, giveaways, stuff like that? I don't even remember. It's been a while since season 4. I don't even remember where the season ended. Do you remember?
Oh, how did season? Oh yeah, season 4 was the Charmaine drama. So she starts to have like something's not right, and then she's like, "Oh, surprise, Jack, you're not the dad after all."
That's it. Yep. And then he's
And that
like
was the
midlife
cliffhanger.
crisis.
Yes. Which I
So,
mean, I think it writes them out of a corner, because I think they were gonna have it was gonna be really awkward with Jack potentially having three kids
in
within
yeah,
this short
three
span of
babies
time.
in just from like a production perspective, one's enough. And hopefully they have good daycare and they can drop the baby off somewhere. That's all I'm gonna say. Three kids at one time is tough. It's tough.
Yeah, so I it'll be interesting to see. Oh, and there was also the whole plot line with the drug lady going on, who just had invested in Jack's Airstream
Oh
business.
my God, yeah.
That's right. That was the other side thing with
The
this one.
Jack's
Yeah, the
Airbnbs.
yes. We
Great.
found I can't remember how I'm blanking on her name, but I remember she's like the drug lord, and we found out she's the sister to someone, and she invested in Jack. So that's always, I will say, that is the thing that throws me with this show. It's
The
all,
crime element.
and then yes, there's like drug lords and like potential murders and shootings, and it feels like two different
There's
at
real murder,
times.
right? The brother,
Yeah,
the
there's real
twin brother
murder.
of the abusive father. Yeah. So,
Yeah, it's definitely
oh,
very all over
wait.
the place.
Did the twin brother get killed too? The abusive parent is killed, was killed, right? Who died, Cody?
I can't keep track.
It's the same person, so I have no idea. Anyway, we can cut this part out.
I think it was the brother. I think he came to town and was like, "Where's my brother?" And they're like,
yeah, that's
sorry,
right.
He's also dead.
I think. Okay.
Maybe that's wrong. We're going to get fan messages. I promise I do watch this show. It's just, I can't keep track of all the plot twists they throw sometimes. It's a lot, even though it is in a short time.
Yeah. Like the pilot. Did that guy die? Did he survive the plane crash? Was there a plane crash? We don't know. It never said. It just moved on real quick.
That storyline was so... I just have to imagine, like, Mel or Sue. No, those are British baking hosts. That's the crossover I'm trying to manifest, I guess, in my mind.
Yeah.
Paul
Hollywood shows up in Virgin River.
He comes to judge their holiday baking.
Oh, my God. I don't know why we are not in charge of this stuff. So Virgin River season 5, September 7th, 10 episodes. Part 2, which is holiday episodes, November 30th, the week after Thanksgiving. I guess everyone's going to have to tune in. But first, we've got a bunch of Netflix shows coming in August. I'll just read through the list of every Netflix original show and movie coming in August 2023. We've got At Home with the Furies season 1, The Big Nailed It Baking Challenge season 1, Choose Love, Heart of Stone, Heartstopper season 2, The Lincoln Lawyer season 2, part 2, One Piece season 1, Painkiller season 1, Ragnarok season 3, Soul Catcher, Squared Love Everlasting, The Ultimatum, Marry or Move On season 2, ooh, that's spicy, The Upshaws part 4, Who is Aaron Carter season 1, it's E-R-I-N, not Aaron Carter, Backstreet Boys, or no, is Aaron Carter the Backstreet Boys? Anyway, we'll continue. You're So Not Invited to My Bat Mitzvah, and then Zombieverse Season 1. So a reminder, these are just the Netflix movies and shows coming in August. There are also some great comedy specials, documentaries, new family editions, and acquired titles coming as well. This is what we do next. We always just pick a few of the titles that we're most excited to see. I think the big one, returning shows, we've got The Lincoln Lawyer Season 2. That comes out August 3rd. Are you excited for that one, Cody? Is it 5 episodes left?
Yep, we've got 5 episodes. This was one, I will say, I think they knew ahead of time that they were going to split season. And so it paid off for this one, where we actually had a cliffhanger right in the middle to keep people on like the edge of their seats, which was really smart. The second 5 episodes of season 2 come August 3rd. When we ended the season's first part, Mickey had gotten like beaten up by 2 dudes in the garage when he was going to get some files from his Lincoln. And he ends the season like passed out on the concrete of the parking garage. And that's kind of the big cliffhanger, is who were these men? We don't know yet who they were. There's insinuations, like we have guesses that it's something somehow connected to Lisa's case. But we don't know how. We know he pulls through. That definitely wasn't a shocker. It's called The Lincoln Lawyer. He's the Lincoln Lawyer. He's not going to die or go into a coma in the middle of the season. That wouldn't probably bode well for the show when he is the lawyer. We get to see what's next. And we finally, hopefully, we'll get answers on what is going on with Lisa's case, which, just for those who have forgotten, in between the break between part 1 and part 2, Lisa is the chef that Mickey meets, I think, in the premiere, who's then accused of murdering a developer, Mitchell Bondurant. Yeah, I think that's who his last name was. And so we were kind of in the middle of the case this time. We hadn't gotten resolution, but they really have done a good job of building up this back and forth of, I do not know whether to trust Lisa or not. And so I'm really interested to see how it goes. I almost hope it goes. I'm kind of torn, because to me, I'm like, would it be predictable to do back-to-back seasons where the person adamantly said, I'm not guilty, and then was guilty? But then I'm like, would it also be predictable if they didn't go that? Because you're like, oh, well, the last person was guilty, so this one's not guilty. So I guess there's arguments either way, but I'm really excited to see how the case wraps. We kind of just started to get to the heart of things at that middle point of the season, and there's still so much to come in part 2. I'll really be curious to see how they wrap it and how they set up a potential third season. It hasn't been released yet, but of course this show is based on a book series. It's got multiple books in it. They've only adapted 2 so far, so there's definitely plenty a potential to continue adapting this, and it's a popular show. It does really well for Netflix. So I'm optimistic season three should be a shoo-in. It'll be interesting to see how quickly we might get renewal news just with the ongoing strikes. But if nothing else, we should get an answer to the case, which is kind of the nice thing that they've been telling these self-contained stories within the season of getting the beginning, middle, and end of one case.
Yeah, that's. I think that I'm most interested in just seeing how Netflix goes about like renewing this show, if they've already got like a secret behind the scenes renewal, how long that we'll have to wait with like the strike and stuff. Because I think that, you know, especially after season two, the cast usually renegotiates their contracts and stuff like that, which obviously I don't think will happen during the strike. So there's a lot of uncertainty. I do think, though, that Netflix needs a lot more shows, maybe not a lot more, but just more shows like this one that are not like, I don't know, that are not, I mean, it's high stakes, but it's like, there's a clear, like theme of every season. It focuses around a couple cases. There's like an overarching theme in like story that is like tying all them all together, but each case is individual. I think that that's super important to have just as like, the do everything streamer, like those shows are so important in keeping people subscribed. Like, I don't think that, you know, I saw this one coming being as popular as it is, but it is super popular. There's a lot of people watching the show. And so I'm excited to see where it can go from here, you know?
Yeah, I agree. This was kind of a sleeper hit last year. I remember when we all started watching it, different members of our team, myself included, like, we were really surprised by it, like just how much we loved it, how fun and different it was than we had seen from anything else on Netflix. We say this in a good way. Some people could take it the other, but it really gave us like classic USA vibes of when white collar Suits, which ironically is exploding on Netflix right now.
Hey, like,
it gave us those vibes. So it's not surprising now to see Suits is streaming on Netflix, the first 8 of the 9 seasons, and it's breaking all these streaming records and is doing so well and has been in their top 10. Because when that show came out, when Lincoln Lawyer came out, we were talking about how it gave us that vibe of like those USA shows of the past that were just good dramas, but also had that humor mixed in. But I think the other thing that Netflix needs more of is shows they can turn around quickly. And this is
absolutely.
We're shocked. Like, there was hardly any news after it got renewed about season two. And then all of a sudden we got news, season two's coming and it's coming in 2 parts.
Yeah.
It was like, we didn't even know they had finished filming. We didn't know any of that. And it didn't take them that long to turn out another season. And I think that's what Netflix needs, is it's okay to have all these big shows like your Stranger Things and your Witcher and like those shows that take a lot production wise because they have all these special effects. But you need shows to keep people entertained between these shows that drop seasons every like 2 to 3 years. And I think the Lincoln Lawyer is proving it can be one of those shows of dropping a new season consistently every single year, because it's not that the production value is low. It's just that it's a rooted show, like it's not got these big supernatural elements, so it's easy to film a season and turn it around quicker than it is some of these bigger shows that have a lot of special effects. So I think it's one that Netflix will definitely keep around for as long as they possibly can.
Yeah, and I think that that's, you basically just said what I was thinking in a much clearer and concise way, is like the, like, it's not reinventing the wheel to be like, oh, people like procedural style, like not formulaic necessarily, but like it hits similar rhythm and beats and has a similar feel to like other popular shows. Like, people like things that are familiar, that is not like exclusive to TV or movies. That's just like life, I feel like. So like, it makes sense why the Lincoln Lawyer in Suits and all of these other shows do incredibly well on Netflix, because people like stuff like this. And so it's kind of like, I think that the next thing is like, where is the medical drama from Netflix? Like, it, like, how, like, Grey's Anatomy is doing well still for like 40 years, but like, where, I feel like that we're so close to like Netflix Med or something like that, you know?
I mean, given the success of Grey's Anatomy over the years on Netflix, I'm honestly shocked that they haven't tried to do their own medical drama. I mean, it just makes sense. Like, it's like, that's what's kept Grey's going on ABC, is that these new generations are always finding it on Netflix and starting from the beginning and diving in, so that when the new season's airing on broadcast, they're following along because they've binged it and they caught up on Netflix and they want more episodes. So it is surprising that Netflix has never tried to do its own medical drama. Maybe
you know who also has an overall deal with Netflix, Cody? Shonda Rhimes. Does she still have an overall deal? I'm pretty sure she does. So
yeah, I think she's still under her deal. Yeah.
Where's Grey's Anatomy 2? That's what I'm wondering. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so interestingly, even more interestingly, Netflix is going, where translations are killing it, August 3rd, so that's the Lincoln Lawyer Season 2, Part 2, Heartstopper Season 2, the same day. Interesting. Especially when the rest of the month, as I mentioned, all of those other new shows and movies, not that many in comparison to other, you know, I mean, the more recent episodes of the podcast we've done, the list is twice as long of new releases coming to Netflix. So why drop two of your best shows, biggest shows on the same day? Maybe there's not crossover among the audience, but it's just kind of puzzling that this is what we're doing, you know?
Yeah, I feel like it's a really interesting decision to make because, yeah, Heartstopper was a pretty big success for them last season with its first season as well. And it's like, yes, there's other big shows coming, but they're kind of tiered out like across. And I feel like they could have easily put these two a week apart at least. Granted, it's nothing new for Netflix to release a new like comedy. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I think Heartstopper, that's a fair draw. Like it's in that teen dramedy comedy kind of area. But we've seen them do it a lot because like Never Have I Ever got often paired the same release week as other big releases on the drama side.
Yeah.
So I mean it's not uncommon for them to drop things at the same week. It just feels like such a weird choice, especially knowing you'd want to keep audiences around and you'd think they would want to tier out some of their bigger shows.
Right.
It's I don't know, it's puzzling. I almost wonder if part of it was because they want to get ahead of a certain movie coming to Amazon on August 11th, which is Red, White, and Royal Blue.
Interesting.
Which I feel like there is a lot of crossover with those two audiences. And so part of me wonders if that's why Netflix is running it out the first week. Because they're like, let us get ahead of this.
I think we need to do a deep dive investigation into when Amazon announced RWRB release date and when Netflix was like, hey, wait a second. if it happened after Amazon was already like, here's when this is coming out, that's sneaky. That's a little like, I mean, it's fair play all around, but it's also just because we know, I mean, this is like a very like, as long as movies have been around, like studios going back and forth about like pairing different movies on the same day, going at it, Barbie and Oppenheimer, like show, like there's a big light obviously shown on that because of like polar opposite ends of like the spectrum here of filmmaking. But to go in and try to steal the audience before to capitalize, to be like, ah, there's another fun thing. It's like when they used to do like football documentaries and stuff around the Super Bowl or like seasons of football shows around the Super Bowl. They're like, I think that people might like football or whatever, or like Taylor Swift, I think, or Rihanna, they do stuff around like, their big event. I guess that's just marketing, but yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I feel like that did play into it, because if they had delayed it a week, it would have come out the day before. So that might be them just trying to hedge their bets and not having two competing. Like I said, because I'm sure both of these, fans are going to tune into both of them. But I think there's a lot of crossover with those two titles, more than Lincoln Lawyer and Heartstopper. And so I do wonder if that factored into, let's get Heartstopper out a week before instead of the same week or the week after. Because I also still admit, I think Netflix, Red, White, and Royal Blue feels like it could have been a Netflix movie. It even has stars that starred in Netflix movies. And I wonder if there's a bitterness of, crap, we let this one slip through and now fans are very excited for it and it's going to Amazon instead of us. But Heartstopper Season 2, I got to stop myself from going down the rabbit hole for the other one.
With the Cody, this is a Netflix podcast. Amazon Live is tomorrow. No, I'm just kidding.
So Heartstopper Season 2, it is coming August 3rd, as you mentioned. We're going to see Nick and Charlie. Their class is going to Paris this year, which is going to be interesting to see how that dynamic plays in. And it just, I don't know, I'm really interested to see how Season 2 shapes up. Season 1 was such a sweet, like, perfect story. And I think people are just excited to see more of Nick and Charlie and kind of see their relationship continue to develop now that they're officially together and what challenges, you know, as they have to approach different things. So I think it'll be another good season. I think fans will really enjoy it. There's that first week will really be a busy week for Netflix. And then we kind of go a bit before the next big release of the month. I mean, I do think the Nailed It baking show will probably do well. It is different from what we've seen in the past. It's kind of I see it as almost like Worst Cooks on Food Network, and that they take these bakers who can't bake over the course of the season. They gradually learn, and like that's the whole point. Instead of just, oh, I did this and it's one-offs, we get to see. But I think the other...
Look at how bad this is, kind of.
Exactly. Yeah, we get to see growth, which I'm excited. I think I'm going to check it out in that one's. But I think the other big one comes at the very, very end of the month. And that's the release of One Piece Season 1 on August 31st. Netflix is on the promo train for this one, has been plugging it. It was their big flagship thing at To Doom. They plugged it every opportunity they have. They've dropped trailers and teasers. What do you think of this one, though? I'm curious to see your thoughts.
I'm seeing, yeah, you're right, though. Like, I mean, Netflix does promote stuff, like, on social media. Like, you know, like, you'll get sponsored stuff. But, like, Twitter or X or whatever it's called now, like, I'm seeing a lot of promoted stuff. And I'm like, is this my feed or, like, other people? Yeah, I think, so One Piece, it's based on the manga of the same name. There's so many volumes of this. Like, fans have been, I think it's been, like, I don't want to misspeak, but like years and years and years of fans of this. There's the anime series with like, I think there's like 700 dubbed English episodes, over 1,000 episodes in Japanese. So there's the audience is huge for this show. Netflix is making it live action. They filmed in South Africa, I think last year, and built all of these like extraordinary sets.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I've seen, you know, a few I saw one that didn't have a lot of CGI. The new ones look really good. But it tells the story of Monkey D. Luffy and the gang of Straw Hat Pirates as they're searching for the legendary One Piece treasure. So if you guys like pirates, which I do, you probably should check it out. What's interesting is like, with a lot of anime adaptations and like, not, it's not weird. It's just bringing it to life. They're so like, I don't know, have a certain style that is challenging to bring to the mainstream audiences. And there's a lot of little quirks and stuff that like, you know, when you're reading like a comic or a manga or whatever, feel really cool and interesting. And then when you see them play out on like in live action, can seem really cheesy and weird. And this show, I think it's right on like the sword's edge, if you will. It can really go either way. We saw, what was it, Cowboy Bebop was another one, super famous anime, comes to Netflix in live action with like a stellar cast. I really thought that they nailed that aspect of it, but like the story just wasn't there, and like the audience specifically was not there to like make it a hit, you know, for Netflix. And that's what Netflix is kind of banking on with One Piece. It's getting a pretty big like summer release slot. I feel like kind of a make or break. Like there are rumors that like this is one of the most expensive Netflix shows of all time. There's other rumors that they had to go back and reshoot a lot of stuff because it wasn't up to snuff. And so it really is going to be interesting to see how this goes. I'm super excited for it. I think it looks awesome from like a fantasy perspective. But the kicker is like fantasy typically doesn't perform super well on Netflix. I think Shadow and Bone did okay season one. Sweet Tooth did okay. I guess Sweet Tooth, it's fantasy in my mind. Did okay season one. Season two was not that great in terms of like overall performance. It's already been renewed in film for season three. I'm trying to think of some other ones. The Witcher, huge season one opening. Not really sure who finished it. It got better with season two and season three, in my opinion. So, but even still, like it's not cracking. It's on the top 10, but it's not getting into like those huge, like The Night Agent, Outer Banks, Ginny and Georgia numbers, Wednesday that we've Stranger Things that we've seen recently. So it has a huge fan base all over the world. I've talked to her forever about this, but it could be like, I could see it really going like we could go Squid Game level big. If it's good, it great, I guess. It could go like Cowboy Bebop. And I really flip a coin. I really don't know like what it's going to do. I haven't seen it though. I haven't got screeners yet. I'm really excited. I'm hoping Netflix sends some stuff out so we can see it early and like kind of gauge where things are though soon.
Yeah, I mean, Treasure and Pirates. I mean, that seems like it's my jam. That's Outer Banks and
yeah,
described in a weirder, few words, but
weird.
Yeah,
it'll be weird. Yeah.
I mean, I agree. Every time I've seen promo for this one, I keep going back to Cowboy Bebop and like how similar it is. Like Netflix pushed that one so hard, did a big promo hoping it would be like their first big
got
like,
a holiday hit. Release yeah,
and it flopped so hard. I mean, it was canceled, I think, wasn't it? Very very fast,
like within
after,
a month. Yeah, like a month came, like it was like oof. Yeah, and it wasn't like so bad, but like it just really is challenging. I feel like the same thing with Avatar The Last Airbender, which was supposed to come out this year, but it has been pushed to 2024. Like, that's not anime necessarily, but like, I think that there's a lot of similarities in like with these big world building shows with like the tech that they're using to film it and how expensive, like, it has to be like massive for Netflix, just how they do business to justify getting another season. Like, they want a certain number, and if it doesn't hit that number, it doesn't go anywhere, usually, unless they like really have invested. Like The Witcher is one where it's like, I don't know how the viewership necessarily reflects how well that show's doing, but that one's got like prequels and sequels. Like, they've really invested in the world of that show. One Piece could be similar. They're going, you know, the cast is a little bit less well known, if known at all, like truly, like, so there's not a lot of huge stars, and if like they skew younger, like it's a lot of young adults in the show, which we've seen can go really either way too. So I don't know. Pirates though, gotta love them.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think it's hard. It's easier to adapt a live action into animated because then you can do more. It's the flip side when you're going from animation into live action, because suddenly things you can do animation, it's not as easy to pull off in live action, and it does not always look good. And so making it look good is the hard thing too. And I feel like that's where some of these shows that we've seen in the past that have been adaptations of an animated series or movie, they struggle because fans are comparing them to the source materials. And when the effects aren't there, they go, oh wait, this looks bad. Like, they shouldn't have done this. And it's going to be interesting, because I feel like fans are also very protective of this show and this like IP. And so I think there's like, if the fans aren't into it right at the start in that first episode, it will turn quickly on them.
Yeah.
And they will be very vocal. And I know this is an audience that will be very, very vocal.
That's the hard thing too, because a lot of Netflix, like you take the like Squid Game, which was like really word of mouth, like didn't get a lot of promo. And by a couple weeks in, maybe 2 months in, it's like literally everyone in the world is talking about this show on social media and stuff. And it's just going up and up and up, where I feel like that we've seen the opposite can happen. If that initial reaction is like, oh, this sucks, it's the worst thing ever, like it can really tank a release. And it's hard to say. It's like, is it the like chicken or the egg? Is it like, is it because everyone says this sucks that people don't watch it, or does it actually suck and that's why people are watching it? You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to say exactly, but I feel like that initial reaction can really turn people off to being like, oh, I heard this was bad, I'm not going to check it out. Or, oh, I heard this was really good, is like the other part of it, that it, when that happens, can like, we've seen it so many times on Netflix specifically, is like, when you have 200 million subscribers and like, I want to, without the password sharing, like almost every person I would bet had some access to like Netflix access in some capacity with their family, friends stealing people's accounts. Like that happened to me. But yeah, like it, like stuff like that, like it can really, like you can get really huge numbers, like The Night Agent coming out of nowhere to pull off like one of the biggest Netflix releases of all time, that like I'd never even heard of it before the week before it came out, you know?
Yeah, I think what we've kind of landed on is there's going to be no middle ground for this one. Either it's going to be a big hit for them, or we're going to be looking at another big flop. So fingers crossed it goes the first direction and is a good hit and the fans really love it and it's the adaptation they've hoped for. If not, I think it's time Netflix moves away from anime.
I think that this is like the shot. Like we've seen, I guess they still, like I said, it's not anime genre, but like Avatar The Last Airbender has already been in. So like they got really two chances here. And I think that they'll probably go away from like a lot of adaptations like that anyway, even if these are successful, and they're just hoping that these could be like the next like Game of Thrones. Like I think that they're like Stranger Things with that ending soon. Like these are kind of, the bankroll is huge, so it's got to work out. I was trying to think of a clever transition.
Having to work out, this one, they have another big test thing.
There we go.
Ironically, also on August 31st, Netflix is dropping a new rom-com movie called Choose Love, and it's their very first interactive movie where basically viewers get to decide the ending. So the story is Laura Morano, who has starred in several Netflix movies in the past, stars as a woman named Cammy, whose fate is ultimately decided by the viewers. So across the movie, there will be different options that you can take the story in different directions. There's multiple endings, all based upon what you pick. And the heart of the rom-com is basically exploring which relationship you want to see win in the end, I guess, is work out in the end. Win like competitive, but
real-time shipping.
Yeah, it pretty much is. It's like when you're watching, it's like, who do you want to see this character with? And there's three options that'll get to play out across the movie. There's the current boyfriend named Paul, a British rock star named Rex, and then her first love who got away named Jack. So you get to, I'm very curious to see, we haven't gotten a trailer yet for it as of the filming of this episode. Very little is known beyond that initial interactive element. It'll be interesting to see how this one's received and how audiences perceive it, just since they could be talking about very different endings when it comes to like social media. Like, oh, yeah, I love that she ended up with this person. They're like, wait a minute, I got her to end up with this person. It just sounds,
it's like a video
chaotic
game movie.
But
I don't know how
to either
feel about this. Yeah, I'll probably check it out just because I like to see how it functions and stuff like that. I'm not like super into, like, I just would rather be confident in your story and tell me what the story is that you have. Don't let me choose. I don't want to be the one with the remote.
It's kind of giving look both ways vibes, and that one kind of explored, it wasn't an interactive one, but we got to kind of see like two directions, like if with the main character who was played by Lily Reinhart from Riverdale, we got to see like these two different directions of like a pivotal moment in her life. In one direction, she goes in one way, and then another direction, she goes in a different one. And so you kind of see these two timelines converging at once as the movie plays out, which it was really interesting, really well done. It kind of gives me some shades of that. With like that exploring the kind of concept of what if, like how one decision can change, kind of like that butterfly effect, I think is the correct term for it. How like one decision can change the outcome. And so it's an interesting concept. I'm just really curious to see how it works out. And how it's received, and who knows, maybe it'll be the start of something new for Netflix and they'll have a ton of these coming, or it might be a one-off, kind of like what we saw with Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt's interactive special. Either way,
Black Mirror, whatever that was called.
Should be interesting. Coming at the end of the month, so two gambles for Netflix, definitely ending August with One Piece and Choose Love. Also two very different titles, so I mean, if you're looking for something different, you have two very, very different options.
I think we missed one. I didn't write down it's coming August 11th, but the one that I think of all of these that could be, I mean, One Piece biggest potential, also most likely to flop. same, if we're doing like, what are those things called in the yearbooks?
The Prelatives.
Yeah, there we go. I was looking for it. Jimmy Fallon. But it's called Heart of Stone and it's Gal Gadot. Action spy thriller, August 11th. I think this one, I mean, she's the star of the biggest Netflix movie of all time, Red Notice, and we got another action, not comedy though. I wonder if that will play a role. But are you excited for that one, Heart of Stone?
Yeah, I'm really excited for this one. I love Gal Gadot, and Red Notice was great. Granted, totally different vibes, like you said. That one leaned into the comedy side of the spy thriller. This is very much giving dramatic. I mean, it's all about like shadowy peacekeeping and stopping a hacker from stealing a dangerous weapon. And so it's definitely giving more intense vibes. But I think it's going to be really fun. Definitely a really great movie. I'm trying to think what's coming in the box office in August on like just theatrical. I think this will get a limited theatrical release well, in addition to arriving on Netflix. But I feel like this is one that Netflix feels very confident about too. We've seen them promote this heavily. I think they promoted it last year at To Doom, just when it was in the early stages. It was one of their central things at the To Doom event in Brazil this year. They really leaned into it and really just heavily promoted this one. And I think it's got a lot of promotion. It has gotten a lot of promotion, a lot of potential to hit for them. And I think this is a genre Netflix is seeing works well for them. I mean, the extraction films have paid off. Those were kind of big action movies. Red Notice was a big hit. Granted, each one has had its own unique difference, but you've kind of had that underlying aspect of somehow action. This one's a spy thriller. And I think it'll be probably their biggest movie of the month, maybe of the summer.
Right. I think The Gray Man, too, was another one with the Russo Bros. I think they wrote that. Maybe directed it, too. Yeah, definitely. I think it's going to be the biggest of the summer. Off the top of my head, I think Extraction 2, maybe The Mother is bigger than Extraction 2. I can't remember. But that was like May. I don't know if that counts as summer. It counts as summer, but it doesn't really.
I keep forgetting about The Mother. I have to be honest. I'm so disappointed that was an action movie. You get Jennifer Lopez and we don't get a Netflix rom-com. Like, what were they doing? I hear The Mother and think like rom-com right away.
She would be, if they could get J-Lo for a rom-com, I think that they would. I think they probably could, maybe, after the success of that one. The Mother, too. I don't know if that's going to happen. The Stepmother. I've got lots of ideas. But what was I going to say? Oh, Heart of Stone. Oh, they cloned Tyrone. I thought that was going to be bigger. Apparently, it's not getting, like, people aren't watching that, even though it's, like, number one.
They fumbled the ball with that one. They should never have released that the weekend that Barbie and Oppenheimer were releasing. Like, what were they thinking?
I don't know.
It has been a very long time since we've seen such a hype around two very different movies like we saw with Barbie and Oppenheimer. And I think they did that movie no service by dropping it the exact same weekend when people are actually going out to theaters for the first time in forever to see these two movies. It's like, you set yourself up for failure, and it's like you could have just delayed it a week, released it a week early. I feel like, because this is one that's been in development for so long. Like, they were talking about it to Doom last year. We talked about it to Doom this year. maybe even to Doom the year before last. Like, I feel like it's been in development for so long. And then they just kind of bury it in the middle of one of the biggest box office weekends that we've had in months.
That's tough. Yeah. It's really good, though. I watched it. Sorry, there's a fly flying around me. But it was really, really good. Like, I was very impressed. We talked about it last month on the pod, just like of how we were excited to see all of these, basically super actors at this point. I think that all of them have been in like franchise leading roles. And so it's a bummer. I'm hoping that word of mouth buzz starts to help it a little bit. Cause it's really, really good. But yeah, I think that Heart of Stone, I would say with Gal Gadot, I don't know, maybe not Red Lotus. Red Lotus. What did I say? Red Notice.
God. That's the Netflix HBO crossover we're trying to manifest.
Hey, we are about to talk about an HBO show coming to.
We are. Unfortunately, not White Lotus, but.
Not White Lotus. That's going to stay on HBO Max or. Max or Disney Plus or wherever it is. it's on Max. I know where it is. But yeah, Heart of Stone, check it out August 11th. We've got some other notable titles that are coming, and I don't know, this was tailor-made for me. I feel like we got Despicable Me 1 and Despicable Me 2. Huge fan of the franchise. We've got Fast and the Furious 1-5. Cody, I don't know if this has ever happened on Netflix before. We usually get like 1-3, maybe Fast 4 thrown in there. So I'm super excited about those. Ugly Betty, seasons 1-4. And then Ballers, the HBO show with Dwayne The Rock Johnson, seasons 1-5. I really don't like that show. I got food poisoning one time in Mexico, and it was the only English channel on the TV, and it was a marathon for 2 days in a row. I watched Ballers, and we'll never watch another episode.
I mean, could the show change the hierarchy of the Netflix strategy? I don't think so.
No.
I mean, The Rock was in Red Notice, so there's that connection of that. But
I think it'll be a top 10. It'll be on the Netflix top 10 for sure. I have no doubt about it. All of the things that we mentioned, I think just then, will be on the Netflix top 10.
Yeah, I think fans will flock to it. I mean, it's the latest in like the line of HBO shows that are starting to come to Netflix. Mm-hmm. Of course, we saw Insecure come in July. Now Ballers is coming in August. It'll be interesting to see what could come next after these two and like what else might be in the pipeline of coming their way. We know there's others coming. But yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Why do we subscribe to Max? Why is the a thing at this point? If they're selling all of their shows to or licensing all of their shows to Netflix, like what is going on?
If you figure out the answer, let me know.
Yeah.
I still am hung up on, like, this is my roast because it fell on the perfect day. I have flubbed it so many times today talking about Max. I have called it HBO Max. I don't know why we dropped the name. I think HBO was your branding there. That's what recognized people. That's why people are watching your streaming service. They're tuning in to have access to the HBO shows.
Yeah.
They're using Max to watch The White Lotus, to watch The Last of Us, to watch House of the Dragon. Like, that's where your branding comes in, and I don't see why they dropped it. When I hear Max, I think of Max from Stranger Things, not Max the service. So, I don't know. It's a very interesting choice. I think the problem was with streaming, not to go on a very long tangent, but the problem with streaming is there's too much of it. I think all these studios decided they wanted to get in on a streaming service, launch their own. Now we're seeing them struggle because they're losing money as studios not selling and licensing their shows to streaming services like they used to because they're putting them in-house. And so before, where Netflix would pay you, I mean, what was that? At one point, what did they pay for Friends? It was huge. The Friends
like
in the Office.
400 or 500 million. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And it's like you lose that by pulling it back to your own streaming service. I mean, I think I saw Peacock is getting ready to lose $3 billion this year. And it's like, I understand everybody wanted to be part of the streaming game. I think that's why, you know, it was always going to happen. Like, all of the studios were going to try to get into this. They weren't going to let Netflix be the only one. They weren't going to let, you know, Amazon and Hulu become the three there. But I think that's just, we're seeing that's the struggle. And that's why so many of these shows are getting pulled now from their streaming services, because they're not getting any money to keep them on there. They're having to pay the money to keep them on there, although we know they're not paying the writers and the actors, so I don't know how they're paying. It's like, it's a whole big mess, but it's just, I don't know, it feels very, it feels like there needs to be a reset. Like, we'll see some of these starting to fall out. I keep waiting to see what's going to be the next streamer to fall, just because it doesn't seem beneficial for the studios to just put everything on their own platform when they could be selling those rights to another party and making more cash. Like, Warner Brothers, like, they could be selling movies like The Flash that flop at the box office to try to make money by having Netflix pick up a deal, but instead they just go right to Max, and it's like, is anybody watching it on Max? Probably not. Mm-hmm. So we didn't go see it in the
theater. I know. It's like so it was like so painfully obvious when this was happening. Like, I remember you and I talked about it like years ago, being like, I don't mean to like upset the powers that be, but like, how is Warner Brothers paying, like, not accepting a check for $500 million for Friends, yet they're going to put it on their own streaming service and probably have to pay their own producers some cut? You know, someone who made that show or put the money forward gets some payment. Like, they can't just keep it. Well, maybe they don't, is what we figured out. But I thought someone got paid along the way. But I was just like, this is like, how are they just like, are they really going to make $500 million off of Friends putting it on their own platform? Or would it be better to put it on Netflix for 4 years or whatever to let people watch it and then cash in on the popularity down the line, you know, with like merch and stuff like that, that they own still? Like, it just, it felt like it makes sense. Cause it's like, yeah, what do you, eventually Netflix becomes so big and then they don't take they don't pay $500 million. For it, they pay $10 million because there's no other competition down the line. But like, in the short term, it seemed so much, or like, so obvious that like, oh, maybe people don't have this much money to pay for 17 different streaming services and like that be profitable for you as a company. Like, whoever survives, I think it'll work, you know. I think Netflix, and this is probably one of the reasons that they're in no hurry to resolve the strikes and stuff, is like, they are going to probably win the streaming wars, quote unquote. Like, who's best positioned? It's Netflix, Disney, and then probably Amazon, because they have literally so much money that like, they could probably, maybe Apple, but like, I can see them.
No one's talking about Apple. That's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they have big shows, but aside from like Ted Lasso, like, you don't hear anybody talking passionately about an Apple original, even though the people that do, they say they're great shows, but it's just, there's not that same audience there. And yeah, I completely, it's, I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see how things go in these next several months too, I think, with the strikes, and how those will affect some of these different studios. But yeah, I think at a certain point, we're going to see some of them have to start folding. I mean, we've already seen it. Yeah. Some, I mean, Discovery Plus merged into Max and became just one platform there, I believe. I don't think they're still on their own thing. Maybe they are. Who knows? I know there's talk of Apple could potentially buy Disney, is like a rumor that we've already floated by. And it's like, if that happens, what happens with Apple Plus and Disney Plus? Do they just become one giant plus sign together?
Antitrust laws get involved. Yeah. Powers that be. I don't know if would let that happen. They probably would, but like, that's huge. That would be crazy. That would be like,
I mean, Disney already owns enough on its own. Like, it's crazy to think of how much they've let Disney buy over the years.
Yeah.
I mean, because Disney owns so much of this entertainment market.
Yeah. And they're talking about like Disney selling off like spare parts for scraps or whatever. Like, because that's like, the linear TV might not be, or the future, all right, it's like, are you posturing, or like, do you really believe that? I'm talking about Bob Iger. He said some stuff, a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really interesting. Like, it's such a weird time to be like, well, a human, one. Two, covering entertainment and trying to like maintain a positive attitude about anything. It's like very like, I don't know. There's a lot of good stuff coming to Netflix this month, though. That's where we should probably end it.
I know what you mean, because it is, it's hard, because as a fan of the stuff, of course you want to promote and like, but it's definitely interesting, like, when you see the actors and the writers behind these shows that we love out there having, you know, fight just for fair wages and to just be paid for the work that they're doing. When you look at these CEOs' salaries And it definitely does not look good when they're like launching. So many of them have been, it's like, what are you thinking? Launching these like multi six figure AI jobs in the midst of a strike where the problem is AI. And it's like, just look at your optics. It's not very good. But if you're looking for stuff to watch to support the actors and the writers, there's a lot of good stuff coming. And I feel like that is the one thing, is just keep promoting them, because it helps support their argument that this is the fans. Because if we start turning away, the studio's gonna be like, look, no one's watching. That's why we're not paying. And so that's where I'm latching on. It's just, I've got to support the things that I love, because that's how we can, at least in a small grain of sand picture in the big bucket, promote them. So watch these shows, enjoy them, tweet about them.
One Piece. August 31st.
I feel like, okay, last, and before we break, we need to weigh in. Bold prediction. Are you team? Do you think it's going to flop, or do you think it's going to hit?
I think it's going to hit. I think my gut is telling me hit, because I want it to. I think that I've tricked my mind into be like, this is a hit. I think it's going to work. I do think like there is a chance that like it 55% hit, 45% flop. That's what I'm going with. It's not 50-50. I said 50-50 earlier. It's not quite there. I think that there will be, it'll make enough people happy that it will do well. I don't think, though, how do I say this, that some of the elements will connect with like normal, like I just check into Netflix every, you know, few days, like in my time off or whatever. Like, I don't think that it's going to be like that. I think it's going to be really passionate from the fans, but I don't know if it's going to be like Squid Game, you know?
Yeah.
That would be hard. But even the thing is like a lot of these like Netflix things, like Stranger Things started so small and then became massive. Same with Squid Game, was like pretty small show becomes massive. Then they kind of look around and go, okay, what do we do next? It's like, are there examples of hits for Netflix where they started big and got bigger? I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's going to flop.
I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe I'm putting it out there because I tend to get it wrong more. So I'm like trying to do reverse psychology that it'll flop and it'll actually be a hit. But I don't know. My gut's telling me that these fans are going to pick it apart, unfortunately, even though I mean, I'm going to check it out, and I don't even know anything about the the stuff that inspired the source material. But I feel like Netflix has burned this genre too much that they're just not going to have it. Even if it is really great, I think they'll be nitpicky with it, unfortunately, is my fear, just because they've not exactly given them the win sometimes in the past with like Cowboy Bebop and some of the others. So
yeah,
I hope to be wrong, but my gut is saying this one could be a miss.
Yeah,
so we'll run this tape when we film the August episode and talk about September. We'll see who was right.
Yeah, we'll know right away, I feel like, what we're looking at. But okay, so One Piece, August 31st. Thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.